Hello, everybody, and welcome to This Is Life Turned Up, episode 13. I'm so excited today, you guys. We have Justine Reichman on, and I cannot wait for her to talk about what she's doing with food. It is so cool. So thank you, Justine, for being on. I really appreciate it. So if you can, tell everybody who you are and what you're doing.
Sure. Well, first, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate that. It's always an honor and an opportunity that I like to take advantage of when people want to learn more about Next Gen Chef. So yes. I am excited to be here. Next Gen Chef is a platform that bridges the gap for community innovation and education. So whether you're a business or a consumer, you can make more informed decisions and have greater access to healthy food.
Perfect. Now, how did you get started with this?
So a couple of years ago, we were living in Mexico City. And, you know, being that I didn't have a visa, I couldn't really work there. And I randomly met this guy that worked for the CMR group, which had a foundation that worked with NGOs to provide organic seeds and education for families to be able to grow organic produce, have some for themselves, and have enough left over to become self-sustaining. So it launched from that, because I went to that and I helped participate and I had all these great ideas, and I won't give you all the details because that could take a long time and I don't want to bore you. But the idea was that I came up with this way to support these families, provide another revenue stream by creating these bags and doing a recipe competition. And so I found a top chef in Mexico City, and we connected, A, because he spoke English, and B, because he launched a variety of the Jean Georges restaurants in New York. And so we connected quickly, and I used to frequent the restaurant. And so when I went with Fundación CMR to meet these families, I came up with this idea for this recipe competition because they made such wonderful food. They invited me into their homes, and they had such pride with everything that they presented to me, from their garden to the table, and how it got there, and their process, and their wood-burning stoves, and their children and their families. And I started to take pictures, and I came up with this idea of doing a recipe contest. And May Cole, the chef from Housette in Mexico City, was the judge, and we were going to put the recipe on their menu, and a portion of proceeds would go back to the families. And wow. In addition, since I've been taking all these pictures, the idea was to create reusable bags that the foundation would sponsor and sell for a small amount to these families so that they would have another revenue stream. They would showcase the winning recipe and the family's photo that I took with some painting that I did on it, and sell it as another revenue stream, and a way to mitigate the amount of plastic that is in Mexico.
Wow.
So I did that and then came back to the Bay Area and said, okay, now what? And I launched, and that sort of turned into Cooking Together Marin, which was a recipe contest as well. But what I realized was that I found more hobbyists than been businesses and people that wanted to create viable, scalable companies to make healthy food more accessible. It was more as like a hobby or, you know, something like that for them. And so what I did was I pivoted a little, and slowly but surely Next Gen Chef evolved. And we are now working towards an online platform, which we have launched in its beta stages, as a way to connect foodpreneurs, mentors, education, innovation, and collaboration to inspire informed decisions in the community so that people have greater access to healthy food.
Yes, yes to everything. Okay, so first of all, I want to go back. How did you end up in Mexico City?
So Tim, my partner, is a tech consultant, and his client at the time was Interjet, which is the JetBlue of Mexico, if you will. And so he was working there, and we had actually gone down to Mexico to San Miguel de Allende for a wedding on a weekend. And we arrived on, I think, Friday morning. Friday afternoon, his company emailed and said, can you be in Mexico City on Monday?
Oh my goodness.
I was like, well, there goes my little vacation in Guanajuato, but okay.
Oh. Wow.
So we ended up there and I found us a place to stay. And later that afternoon he phoned and he said, okay, Justine, so now go find us a place for a month. We're going to go home for a week and get our stuff. I'm like, okay. So I did that, and 1 month turned into 2 months, turned into 6 months, turned into a year, turned into a year and a half.
Oh, wow. What an experience.
It was amazing. I loved living there. The people were great. The culture is great. People take such pride in everything that they do. And they were just very welcoming and warm and inclusive. And it was a really wonderful experience.
That is amazing. Okay. So tell me about, let's go back to your business. So there's things that like I've noticed because, you know, I do coaching and mentoring and consulting for mostly women run businesses. And I talk about this a lot in my podcasts and all of my content, because it's the same themes that come up over and over again. This whole idea of fear and imposter syndrome and just the lack of confidence when it comes to business building and really visibility for the business. And a lot of women hide behind the business. And so I'm curious, like, from where you are and where you sit, how do you handle that? And how have you handled it in the past in terms of any of it, right? Imposter syndrome, fear, like what comes up for you specifically when you started the business, and then how did you move past it?
So a couple things. One is I was fortunate enough to grow up in a household where my mother was an entrepreneur. Mm. And so from the minute I could pick up a telephone and say hello, I knew what my mother did. I saw her at the dining room table working. I could repeat, I had the sentence down what she did. I could talk on her behalf and be there.
That is so awesome.
I can tell you exactly what my mother did. She locates lost heirs and dormant shareholders on behalf of financial institutions. I had examples that explain how when a child gets bar mitzvahed, or I used to like to, you know, be non-sectarian and show other examples, but that when you get these stocks or bonds, that they get escheated to the state as unclaimed property if you don't fill out your proxy and update your information. Anyway, I don't know.
Oh, so, that is hilarious.
I saw my mother start her business from the dining room table and ultimately had an office in Chelsea on 25th and 7th. I don't know for anybody that's familiar with that. It's right across from where Whole Foods is, but it was not there when we were there originally. And she ultimately had 40 or 45 people at the height of it and then ultimately sold.
Wow.
So from where I stood, being an entrepreneur was anybody could do it. There was no reason why I couldn't. Mm-hmm. My mother did it. My father did it. He's an entrepreneur. They're both entrepreneurs, and man or woman didn't make a difference.
Right.
I will say that that was not, I didn't have that fear. The imposter syndrome for me was when all these people come up to me and they're all telling me what a wonderful thing it is and how amazing it is and how much they love what I'm doing. And I'm like, really, what am I doing? I have to question myself. I'm like, really, did I do that? Is that me?
Yeah.
And so that is a real thing. And every now and again, I think there's sometimes I look at what I'm doing and I'm saying, okay, what impact am I having? Am I having an impact? Mm. I seem to be having an impact. And I question myself in that way. And it does take a little support from those folks around you to convince you and remind you of what you're doing and the impact you're having and how great it is. And I really do believe what I'm doing is having an impact. And so at the moment, I'm not in the middle of the imposter syndrome,
right.
But I'm moving full steam ahead, and I'm working with, as weird as it is, everybody on our team is women, and it was not by design. It just happened to be the people that were motivated and that were drawn to Next Gen Chef were all women. It was not by design, and it's not the way we plan to go for the future, but I do like to support women.
Yeah.
And we work a lot with other women. And I find that many times working with women, people are really open to collaboration and being supportive to one another. So it's a really nice thing. I enjoy working with both men and women, though, in all honesty, because I feel like we all have a different set of experiences. But as a woman, when it comes to... I apologize. Sorry.
No worries. You know what? The title of this podcast is This is Life. and then turned up, but this is life. This is what happens. Don't worry. All right. Justine is taking care of her dog. But I do want to say, you guys listening, she'll come back on in a second. But I was just filling because I think this is what you said was so interesting about like the support of the of a community or of people, like-minded people around you. Because oftentimes, and what you said is so interesting to me, and I want to go into this. It's like we do things every day, right? Business owners, it doesn't have to be a business owner, but most of the people listening to this are. We wake up and we do the things we need to do to, you know, go down our list, and hopefully we're in alignment with what we're doing. And we feel like, you know, ultimately we want to have this big impact, but we go through these motions and we don't always know what we're doing. It's like we have to pull ourselves out of it for a second to see the big picture, to see the actual impact we're making. And sometimes it's really helpful when we have other people like tell us these things, right? Like just the other day, somebody told me something about a blog post I wrote. And I'm like, and they're like, that really like helped changed my thinking on something. And I was like, ah, like I didn't even think about it. I just wrote it. I did it. But like having that kind of, you know, feedback from people is so important because it just fuels us and pushes us forward. And it just is that mirror. And sometimes if we don't have the support, because I know a lot of women entrepreneurs don't, and I feel like there's things that we need to do, and you know, we need to put the mirror up for a second. We need to step out of the hustle and the grind of what we're doing every day and just kind of look from a higher vantage point, look down on us. And I think that's a really interesting point, and I think we all need to do that a little bit. Okay, but
Can I make another comment? The other thing that I really think makes a difference is we all have a different model growing up. We all see different people doing things and we're told different things. And you know, nowadays, obviously, there's a lot more people doing things in different ways and people are more open-minded and women are doing things they hadn't done in the past. But I was fortunate enough to have a model that I saw my mother doing anything she wanted to do. She had multiple businesses. She, you know, she went against the grain. And so I think I'm fortunate to have that model. And maybe this new generation of, you know, that's coming through will maybe have a different experience because of the models that they have now, because things are changing.
Yeah, that's a good point. I do see the change. I think we all see the change. And I think, you know, us women are stepping into these roles. You know, I was also lucky. I grew up with entrepreneurs. So I kind of had this, like, you know, you literally could do whatever you want mentality, not whatever I want, but like be who I want. And I think that's something that I drive into my kids too. And I want my kids to see me at the kitchen table running a business. And they, you know, sometimes I'd rather be spending time with them than sending emails at 9 o'clock. But I, you know, for me, like part of that is to show them I could do this too. It's not just a man's world, but I also had the modeling and, you know, the stories in my head of you could be who you want. Okay. So I want to know just, we have a few more minutes. So I want to know a few things. What's like, what do you wish you had known when you started out in this business?
What do I wish I had known when I started out in this business? Wow, that is a good question.
I should have warned you beforehand. I was going to ask this question.
Now, it's interesting because one of the things that I enjoy so much about being an entrepreneur is always learning something new. And to me, that's the greatest, that's one of the greatest assets of being an entrepreneur. They're not an asset. I don't know if it's an asset, but it, one of the greatest gifts of being an entrepreneur is that you're continuously learning. I like to say I'm getting on the job MBA all the time.
Oh my God.
And I get it in so many things. And I will say that after having run, you know, I ran my mom's company for a while and I ran another business. And so starting my own, I feel like at this point in my 40s, I had a leg up versus, you know, when I did it 20 years ago or 10 years ago when I was working with my family, I didn't have that same experience. So this time around, I had a lot less of those questions. However, every day I'm learning something new. Technology is different. I wish I knew how to use some of the technology more to my benefit, frankly.
Yeah. You know what? And that's part of business is finding those people who could, you know, fill in the gaps where we're not good at, the things we're not good at. Like, yeah, technology for me also. But I have people who help me with that.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting. The thing that I think, one of the things that I think is my biggest asset is that I don't believe I need to know everything. I believe I need to know what I need and be able to get those experts to surround me. And I learned that from both my parents, because my mother, who ran her business, didn't necessarily know how to do everything, but she had this amazing gift for finding people that knew how to do exactly what she needed and surrounding them. And my father, while, you know, he likes to do everything, he has a gift for learning how to do it all. So I really had, two really great models that showed me a little bit of insight into both of those ways of running things. And I think that was really helpful, because there are times when, as an entrepreneur, you need to be scrappy and get it all done. And you really just need to teach yourself how to do it. And other times, as you're building your business, it's really important to bring those people to surround you so that you can be able to determine, is this viable? Is this scalable? Where am I going? And what kind of impact am I having?
Okay. One last question. Super random one, but I like to ask this question in my podcast. All right. What is your go-to order at your favorite hometown restaurant?
My favorite restaurant is Casa Mono at Gramercy Park. It's right around Gramercy Park, and it is one of my favorite restaurants. And I went there every year on my birthday for lunch. It was a local spot for me, but it is also a destination for
many. Okay, what do you order?
You know, I'm a little hesitant to say where in California and people are not so friendly around what I order.
Parmesan, aren't you?
I love their foie gras.
It's okay.
Their wings or clams are amazing.
It's okay. Yes, California is interesting with that.
Too
nice. All right. Well, thank you so much, Justine, for being on this podcast. It is awesome. We've had a great conversation. And in the show notes, you guys, I'm going to put links to get a hold of Justine and see what she's doing, because it's pretty cool. So again, thank you, Justine, for being on. And guys, thank you so much. We will see you on episode 14.
Thanks for having me.